This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 192. We finish up the week of baseball heading into the weekend, and you know, we have some things we know about the World Baseball Classic. We want to do a quick update on our teams and go from there. John Senecal, Brian Shackman. John, how are you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying my week off here in Connecticut. Not up in Boston this week, but I'll be heading back to Boston for the first game of the White Sox-Red Sox series.
You're going to be working it. You have media credentials.
Yeah, there's a kid with autism. I say kid, he's a college student, throwing out the first pitch. It's Autism Awareness Month, so he's throwing out the first pitch.
When was the last time you were on the field?
Oh, God, it was...
Because you've been on the field there.
A few times, yeah, when Dickerson had been in town with the Orioles. God, probably 2017.
Okay.
So it's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while since I've actually been on the field.
And then Dave Mellor, I think, retired their ground squad. I wonder if the field's any different. I just wanted to touch on one thing Red Sox related before we get into some of the World Baseball Classic. You know, Roman Anthony had another monster game in the minors, and the clamor for him to come up. And it's true, I think, for Marcelo Mayer, too. I don't know how he's playing, but both of those guys, I'm told, are Major League ready now.
Yeah.
And if you listen to, you know, whether it's Jared Karrabas or other people, you know, Karrabas made a really good point earlier in this week, basically saying that the Red Sox, the way they look now, are not the way they're going to look in July.
Right.
So, and I think that if Roman Anthony needs to be in the lineup, and and Cassis needs to be out of the lineup.
How do you solve that
issue? When do you make the move? To me, baseball is so hard. This is what I wanted to bring up with you, because baseball, you know how hard a game it is. And people say, well, you have 600 at-bats and 162 games, blah, blah. The thing is, I know this from knowing Rico Bronya when he was playing and I was dating his sister, that if you go 0-4 and then you go 0-4 again, you feel like your professional life is on the line.
Yeah.
Like that pressure mounts up in a way that you can't imagine. And the only way to truly know how good you can be is if you work without fear, work without fear of released or sent down or benched, right? You really have to, as a manager, you have to have the player not worry about certain things so they can be their best selves. Having said that, what's the statute of limitations on, not necessarily giving up, but making a move and saying, you know what, whether you got an issue you got to work out or whether you just don't have it, you're done. Is 3 weeks, is 4 weeks not enough, or is it enough?
Well, I think...
And I'm specifically talking about Tristan Casas.
But the problem with Casas is how do you move a player like Casas and then substitute him with a Roman Anthony or a Marcelo Meyer? Like, who's going to play first base for them?
Convert somebody.
You're going to put
Devers.
Wilmer Abreu is going to play first base and Roman Anthony is going to play right field? I mean, the thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to look at guys like Casas and guys like Wilmer Abreu who have options, who you could send down, right?
First of all, you send Casas down. There's no debate. Maybe you put Devers.
Easy to say that, but how do you replace him? You don't have a first baseman to replace him.
Honestly, and I know that people who say, like, oh, put anybody at first, it's not hard. I understand, you know, going back to Moneyball.
That's incredibly hard.
but having said that, if you got a kid who's athletic, you know, 95% of the players.
You suggest teaching Roman Anthony
how to play?
I don't see that working, especially with a guy who was raking in AAA and playing the outfield.
Okay.
Well, that's the problem. We talked about this over and over. Yoshida is a hamstring for you guys because he can only DH. And now Casas is a hamstring for you guys because he can't hit.
Can't do anything.
Right. He can't do anything. But he's a good enough player to do that, and you know that, so you're not going to get rid of him, so you send him down. But who's going to play first base? You don't have that option.
Yeah, maybe it's Devers. I don't know.
Where do you put Anthony? You have to DH him, and you have to sit Yoshida, or you have to sit Abreu. You're not going to sit Duran. You're not going to sit Rafael. It's just not happening. They're log jammed. There's no room for these guys.
Well, I guess that's why they get paid.
It's a bold move. Is what they need to do, right?
What's
Yoshida batting?
I don't know. Does Yoshida even play?
Well, that's one of the guys that's sucking you up. He's only played DH, so he's got to be playing. They're paying him like $50 zillion.
What about Rafaela? I mean, move him. He stinks too.
So
I don't know.
He has options, but he's also got a contract, a big contract, relative to his age.
So I don't know if it's...
I agree with you 100%. Roman Anthony should be in the majors
right now.
Right,
and so whatever it is, freaking do it. Like, Casas, and again, I don't mind the quirkiness. It's quirky and it's fun when you're doing well, and he's a jackass if it's not going well. And right now, everyone thinks he's a jackass. I'm not going to pass judgment on a young kid. He's got a lot of growing up to do. He's so young. Like, you don't remember, like, how delusional you might have been when you were in your 20s. Like, the kid's got some work to do on himself. But the bottom line is he shouldn't be in the majors, right? And so whatever it is you got to do, you got to do it. Yeah. And I think my point ultimately when I talk about like how much is too much is that I think that both fans and I think the team should have like said, okay, something's wrong with Casas. Let him go down for a month and rake on these schleps in AAA. Let's have everybody on the big. Somebody's going to get hurt at some point, yep, and maybe there would be a place for him later. His time for now is done.
Well, they have to do something because they're not scoring runs, right? They're the only team in the AL East with a negative run differential.
Is that true?
Only team in the AL East. Negative 11 run differential in the AL East. I mean, baseball in general is interesting because the AL Central, every team has a negative run differential except Detroit. And then in the AL West, every single team has a negative run differential. Now, that also means who they've been playing. A lot of teams have been playing the NL West, who every team has a positive except the Rockies.
Right. And by the way, the Rockies are done.
They're done.
The Diamondbacks are in fourth. And they're plus 22.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad for the Rockies, and our buddy Clint Hurdle is now the hitting coach. I honestly think unless they change divisions, and I'm knock on wood, with the over under on them being relevant or a wild card team,
yeah,
I would say 2029.
It's crazy that you just said that, change divisions, because like when I looked at this, I kind of was like, I knew the Rockies sucked, but then I looked and I was like, negative 51 run differential. That's almost double any other team. Like, that's
right,
double any
other
team negative run differential. That's almost double most of the team's positive run differential. It's crazy.
Arizona, San Francisco, the Dodgers, the Padres. Any of those four teams could win the World Series.
Yeah.
Any of those four teams would be probably the best team in the American
League. So what would
you
do with a team like Colorado? If you were to move them out of that division, how do you solve that problem? You move them back to the Central, and you move like St. Louis into that division?
You can't do that to St. Louis because they're too storied a franchise to dictate that too.
Milwaukee's been pissed around too many times. Yeah. You can't do it.
The Central is so storied. Like the NL Central, those teams are too...
Put Atlanta back in the West.
Yeah, seeing geographically, it doesn't
work. Weren't they in the West
work.
Like years ago?
I don't know.
I feel like.
But I mean, Colorado geographically needs to be in the Central or the West or move them to the AL. I don't know.
They need more teams. MLB needs more teams, I guess. They need a team in Portland or Salt Lake City or...
They need something because I almost feel bad for the Rockies because it doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter what they do.
They're going to suck no matter what, but how do you show up? A beautiful stadium, a great city.
Well, it's too big, though. That stadium's too big.
But how do you show up to that? How do you get excited about that, knowing that your season's over 2 weeks into the season, 3 weeks into the season?
Yeah. Well, if they have $10 tickets.
They're 18 games into the season, and they're never, they have zero chance.
Right. And they have less chance than the White Sox.
They could sign Shohei and Judge, and they still wouldn't make the playoffs.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. You've been taking your hot take pills last couple weeks.
You got you a little fired up this morning, though.
Well,
I just
think it's so dumb for the Red Sox to sit there and give it time. I think you need to give them time. I think
they
month
need to trade some
time.
People is what they need to do.
But you can't get anything for Casas.
You're not going to get anything for Yoshida if they're not hitting, but they need to move players.
They need something. Hey, just give me a quick update. I know the big thing we talked about at the end of the week on the radio was Jazz's little tantrum on social media and so on and so forth.
Yeah, so Jazz flipped out. Obviously, bad calls. It's funny you say what happened with Jazz. I watched an interview with him on MLB Network during the day, like last week, and they said, what bothers you the most in MLB? And he said, bad calls. And he said, bad calls. He just kept saying that. And you know, if you watch Yankee games, Jazz is a very animated player.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah. And again, I'll say it again and again and again. When these players, batters, argue the strike, 99.9% of the time.
They're right.
They're right.
Yeah.
They're definitely right. And it's amazing. And that dude last night was throwing like 100 miles an hour. So we know how these players know the zone. That being said, another step towards some sort of challenge system. I don't think full automation, but there's going to be some sort of ball strike challenge system coming. Yankees. Positive notes about the Yankees. We're still working out the starting pitching. Bullpen's been lights out. Devin Williams finally got his first non-blemish save where nobody touched him. But the Yankees bullpen, long, short relief, has been lights out. We still need to get some length. Fried is doing good. But the big thing is like last year, Judge didn't have much hitting behind him all season, but he had a bunch of junk at front of him instead of other than Soto because they couldn't really figure out the leadoff spot. This year it's working, right? He's got two great hitters in front of him with Goldschmidt and Rice the way they figured out this formula, and it's working.
Well,
it's
Ben Rice, listen, he's got basically a third of the at-bats from a year ago, and he's got five home runs. He's a two shy of last year.
Yep.
He's obviously batting way better. He's striking out less.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know if it's just because he gets better pitches because of who's in front of him or...
That has a lot to do with it. But it also, the first thing everyone talked about Ben Rice when he came into spring training this year was how much different he looked.
Stronger,
put on weight, put on a lot of muscle, not as lanky. He almost, in a way, looked like a totally different person, in my opinion. And that's translating. And again, yes, hitting in front of Aaron Judge doesn't hurt. But if you're getting on base too, and you're waiting on pitches, and you're being selective, which he is very good. That being said, the Yankees still have a lot of issues on the back end of their lineup. Nobody's hitting. Bellinger's not hitting. Jazz is not hitting. Volpe's not hitting. Like the whole bottom quarter, two thirds of their lineup is garbage. So they need to figure that out. But, if Aaron Judge is going, usually that's how the Yankees go. So let's hope he stays healthy. And, right now, the Yankees are tied for the best record in the AL with Texas Rangers, but by one game.
I mean, again, there's no real separation.
No.
I mean, again, like, they have the same record as the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are in fourth in the NL West. I mean, I'm blown away by the NL West. I just love, and I love that the Padres are good. They're finally, like, they shed some talent, as we all know, but they're somehow better, and I think maybe the expectations eased a little bit.
Well, they're athletic. That's the big thing that's helped them. I mean, I read somewhere that every one of their position players was a former shortstop at some point.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you have, like, Fernando Tatis, Jake Cronenworth, Luis Arraez,
Bogey
Machado. Then they say it at some point, I'd say high school too, right? But their catcher probably, Salvi Perez was a shortstop at one point for the field. So that's, it translates, right? The shortstop's usually the best player on the field. And when you have those athletic players, like Jackson Merrill went from shortstop to center field and was basically a gold glover.
He's John Senecal, Brian Shackman here, episode 192 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Listen, it's hard for me a year out to get into the World Baseball Classic. I think you're jazzed up because Aaron Judge is the captain. I would say prove to me that I should care right now. But what I would ask you is, like, you already broken down the numbers. Like, who's gonna start for Team USA?
Well, you talk
about how much of a dork you are.
Well, you talk about a year out, right? But if you look at the last time the World Baseball Classic happened, the same manager, Mark DeRosa, that's doing it this year did it last time, but he came in really late to the game. He didn't find out till like less than a year ahead of time. And most of his coaching staff was kind of already picked out.
Right.
So that makes it tough, right? This year he's getting into it. This time around, he's getting into it way ahead of Vance, and he's basically got full reins, kind of him and, I think Mike Hill, is the general manager, and they got basically full reins. But the big thing he did was he went and made the call to Aaron Judge right away to get him on board. Right. And if you get Aaron Judge on board, that means the marquee player in American baseball
right.
wants to play. And those, hopefully those other dominoes will fall. Now, I listened to an interview with DeRosa did, and he was talking about a core group of players, three or four, that he's already reached out to other than Aaron Judge, with the hopes that they see Judge play, and if they say yes, everybody's going to say yes. So,
what do you think? It's like Harper?
I would guess it's like a Bryce Harper. I'm thinking it's guys that's never played before, like a Bryce Harper, you know, those kind of guys. You know, maybe a Gunnar Henderson. Mookie's been on the team before. But definitely, I would say Bryce Harper would be definitely one of them. But it's interesting because you wonder what direction they'll take. You can take 30 players, 12 of them have to be pitchers, and 2 of them have to be catchers. So then, what's that leave you? What, 16? 16 position players that you have to fill. Now, you have to look at it like, are you going to start going by position? Or are you going to do what we just talked about, the shortstop angle? You know, are you going to look at a Mookie Betts and be like, oh, Mookie could play right, he could play short, he could play second? Are you going to look at a guy like a Jackson Merrill who could come in and basically play anywhere? Or, you know, are you going to think, look at a guy like Gunnar Henderson, and he will say, sorry, Gunnar, Bobby Witt's our shortstop, you're going to have to go play third. But what happens to a guy like Alex Bregman if you want him on the team? So let's look at the lineup. Like, okay. Right? I initially sat down with my son last night, and we kind of just breezed through, like, off the top of our head, right? Mm-hmm. And then you miss a lot of players just because you're off the top of your head. Then you go kind of through the lineups, and we came out with, like, 42 players. And even then, it was like there wasn't many relievers on there because you don't think relievers a lot of times, right? You think the marquee starters. But I'm just going to name off the players by position, and then I'll tell you kind of what we went down to with the 30. So we start with catcher, and I think the obvious choice here is Adley Rutschman, right? He's a switch hitter, young guy, good track record, coming towards his first free agent contract in another year after this year, established. The other player we talked about is Austin Wells. I think, you know, not bad, probably not going to make the team. And then the third catcher was Kyle Raleigh, another switch hitter, platinum glove winner, excellent defender, big contract just signed, got the repertoire, good defender, probably a great choice, probably will make the team. First base, two choices really just came to my mind, was Bryce Harper, definite, got to get Harper on the team, and then Pete Alonso, who's been on the team before, but not a bad defender and just a great guy, right? Yep. Great guy to have on the team. I think he'd be a huge
asset.
Good
pinch hitter, too, I mean, to be honest.
We'll do anything, right? Yep. Never, no pressure bothers him, any of that stuff. Now, second base is where it gets interesting because this is where you start thinking about where you can start moving players, right? You could take the shortstops and put them there, maybe a third baseman and put them there, or you look at a second baseman. And I came up with two players that were actually second basemen, and one of them is interesting because my son and I call them dad coach. Because Matt Holliday is the hitting coach. So automatically we were thinking, Jackson Holliday is going to find his way onto this team. Young player, get the experience like Bobby Witt did his last time around, right? So we highlighted him as dad coach. So he would make the team, not so much on his talent because he hasn't really done much, but we're talking a year ahead. He could do more. So we put him on there, and then we put Bryce Turang on the team, who's another platinum glove winner, second baseman from Milwaukee, who's having a good year this year and had a good year last year. That being said, now both of those guys might not be on a team, right? They might not be on the team because you can move players, right? Shortstop. So let's get to shortstop where it gets real interesting because you got a lot of talent in Major League Baseball at shortstop. And the obvious choice is Bobby Witt Jr.
If he'll play.
Well, he was on the team last time, but he didn't get much playing time. I would say that DeRosa is probably one of the guys that he's saying, listen, you want another shot at this and play all the time, right, kid? And he's probably, I'm sure Bobby Witt's carving the steak right now. You know what I mean? He's ready to go.
Well, I have two essential questions for you, so I want you to whip through this because then I have two questions for you. So whip through the lineup.
All right, so then we go Gunnar Henderson, who we would think could move to third, right? Yep. Bo Bichette, question mark. Corey Seager, question mark. Mookie Betts got to be on the team. You could put him anywhere, right? Mookie Betts has to be on the team. Third baseman, you know, we had two in mind. Austin Riley was one, but Alex Bregman is the one that we just kept coming back to. That being said, Gunnar Henderson or some other shortstop could go to third. Let's get to the outfield. Aaron Judge, a definite. He's the captain. Our other definites that we picked were Pete Crow-Armstrong, dynamic center fielder for the Cubs, Kyle Tucker, who was on the team last time, Corbin Carroll, another dynamic player. But that's three lefties in the lineup, so you and then Aaron Judge, so you need some righties. Jackson Merrill, another lefty. And then we've highlighted this guy, and you know he's going to be on the team, but maybe he doesn't deserve to be on the team talent-wise and his age-wise, declining his career, Mike Trout. But he will be on the team, I would say, just based on how DeRosa's already kind of looped him into it. So we made it through the position players. The other ones in the outfield that were question marks were Riley Green, James Wood from Washington, and Brenton Doyle, who's the outfielder, Gold Glove outfielder for the Colorado Rockies. Now, the pitching is where it gets interesting because you know these are where all the question marks come up because the teams worry about them workloads and all that crap. But in a perfect world, Mark DeRosa said he's calling all the guys that are on your list to the guys who asked him the question, what pitchers are you going after? So we're thinking the big guns, right? Who's the first guy you're thinking of? Paul Skeens, right? So we put Paul Skeens, Garrett Crochet, Spencer Strider, Tarek Skubal, Mason Miller, the closer for Oakland, Max Fried, Hunter Green, Corbin Burns, Michael King, starter for San Diego, Logan Webb, starter for San Francisco, Ryan Helsley, the closer for St. Louis, Josh Hader, and Tanner Scott. Now, those guys make it because they're left-handed closers, the last two, and you don't have any really left-handed bullpen guys initially. That being said, I think the bullpen's very fluid, right? Very fluid. And the two utility guys we had in mind were, we had three. But the two that we kept coming back to were Tommy Edman and Jordan Westberg.
Okay, let me stop you there. Because you went really inside baseball. I'm just curious, do the players care?
I think they do. I think it's important because I'll say it all started with the Dream Team basketball, right? Back in the day, the one we remember, the Jordan.
92.
And the gold medal. I think it all just goes around that, just like the World Series ring. You know, that replaces all the wealth. It's the bragging rights. And the fact that they lost to Japan in the dramatic fashion last time with Shohei and Trout with the showdown at the end. And knowing that the other countries, especially Japan and the DR and Venezuela, they take it so seriously. They throw everything they got at it. And DeRosa said the only way that the U.S. will win this is if they take it seriously.
Okay. That's question number one. Question number two, I think specifically of Rutschman and Skeens, load management and insurance and, you know, viability for their club.
Yeah.
Are the clubs, do they insure it? Because I can't imagine. Rutschman clearly needs to be managed because he runs out of gas late in the season. And Skeens is like, he's gold. And you put innings that aren't for your team. Those are innings wasted.
Yeah. And it's also, you got to remember, it's also baseball being played at full speed early, March 6th through the 17th.
Yeah. I just wonder from a liability standpoint,
yeah,
you know, all that stuff, like whether...
I would imagine it's on a player basis. I would imagine it's on a team basis based on how their contracts are structured.
So I was Ben Charrington in Pittsburgh. I'd be like, no.
Because according to Aaron Judge, made the decision, I guess, from what I heard, without even saying anything to the Yankees. Now, could that just be an Aaron Judge's contract and that not even be an issue, that Aaron Judge has carte blanche to agree to that kind of stuff?
Maybe.
Right. I would imagine that the Yankees and all these teams have all this stuff worked out. But that being said, what benefit is it for the Yankees right now with Aaron Judge being named captain? That only helps the Yankees, unless he gets hurt on the field playing, obviously, like...
But Judge is not my issue.
No, Judge is not your issue. The pitching, like I said, going into naming the pitchers, that is the big question. That's why last time they had Adam Wainwright start in the final game. And you got your marquee pitchers, Merrill Kelly. You're not going to win with those guys. You need the Corbin Burns. You need the Skeens. So that's what they need to do. Maybe it's the Pirates are saying, well, Skeens is not going to pitch more than 40 pitches. You know, but it's March 6th, so maybe Skeens doesn't pitch more than two innings regardless. So there's going to be a lot of questions.
That's going
to
hurt the team's viability. Like, I'd be more inclined with giving them, if they can somehow get
Like how many, I don't even know what the days are between, but it's more, I don't know if they could start their routines a month earlier and be up to six innings by then.
I think that's what it's going to be, Brian, that the process has started so early now and they're taking it so seriously. I think these players are going to be locked in now that Judge is locked in. And if you get that core group, there'll be so much preparation that these pitchers, that the main ones that are concerned, will be geared up, ready to go. And only thing that's going to stop them is injury while they prep.
And when do they have to make – they don't make these decisions till offseason, correct?
The team itself I don't think has an exact deadline, like other than maybe as it gets closer based on injury. But I think to get the buzz going, you're going to see a lot of names come out in the next 2 weeks.
Interesting.
I would think.
Really? The next 2 weeks?
I would think so. Oh. I would think so.
He's John Senecal. We're going to leave it there. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun. but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.